Dear Heavenly Father, we are assembled here, dear Lord, in thy name, in thine house of prayer, where together we can worship thee, Father, we can serve thee, we can pray unto thee, sing the beautiful songs unto thee, and serve thee faithfully. And this evening, our Heavenly Father, we are blessed to be here, and we ask thee, Father, to look down upon us and bless us richly, bless our gathering, and open our hearts and our minds that we would gladly receive thy word and hear thy salvation, O Heavenly Father, the plan of thy salvation. So bless us richly, be with us. This we ask in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen. For this evening's meditation hour, let us, with help of God, find and read from the Gospel according to St. Matthew from chapter 3. Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 3. Sveto Evangelje po Mateju, treća glava. Bogu na hvali na čast. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locust and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who had warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth thereof, therefore, fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you, that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. It's a blessing to be able to be in the house of God even this midweek service. Sometimes it's hard after work, so many things to do at home, but when we can, it is a blessing for all of us to be able to gather together in the house of God, where together we can serve Him, read from His beautiful, wonderful words of life, where we can learn. We always learn. We never stop learning. We can read the chapters over and over, and we will always learn something if we open our ears and our heart and our mind and are ready to receive it. These are the words of life. In this chapter, the Gospel according to St. Matthew speaks about John the Baptist, speaks about baptism, repentance. What is repentance? What does it mean? To change of mind, change of heart, change of will. We know the story of Zacchaeus, where he wanted to see Jesus Christ. He really wanted to see him. He couldn't see him. He said that he was short, and he couldn't see him from all the people that were around there. So he climbed up on the tree so that he would be able to see him. He really had the zeal, the will to see Jesus Christ. So there was nothing that would stop him. If there was a will, there was a way. And he found a way. He climbed up on the tree to see him. Did Jesus really see him on the tree? Perhaps he did, but he saw his heart. Perhaps there would be other people climbing the trees just out of curiosity to see who was walking by, but not Zacchaeus. And Jesus saw his heart. And his heart was changed. He had a change of heart in his mind. And he confessed even his sins. He was ready and willing to give his life for Jesus. And he said, if I stole some from someone, since he was a tax collector, he will pay four times as much. He will repay it back. He was ready to do that, to take a loss. Whatever it would take, he was ready to follow Jesus. But he had to realize his state that he was in, acknowledging the sins that people live in. That's the first step, realizing, acknowledging your sin, my dear friend. To recognize the sins, one must examine his own self. Sometimes people feel that, well, they're not great sinners. And that could be the case. Not everyone is a great sinner or big sinner or someone that sins these gross and great sins. But we were all sinners, everyone. We were born as sinners. If we examine ourselves, then we will find faults and mistakes and sins. So one must recognize, examine himself or herself and recognize the sins that they have. Whether they're great or small, they're still sins. Then you need to feel the sorrow. Then you need to be sorry for hurting God, since you realize that you have sinned. And then you need to forsake it. You need to leave it. Stop sinning. Now, you will still have mistakes, and you will make mistakes, and you'll have weaknesses, and you will fail and fall. We all do. But you need to stop sinning and forsake all the sins. And before one can be baptized, he needs to confess all those dead sins. All the sins that were put to death. Mortify your sins, Apostle Paul says. Put them to death. Stop. With help of God, of course. On your own, as we mentioned many times, it's not possible. Impossible. So as the sins are forsaken, they're left, they're gone, we confess them. They need to be confessed. And then they're buried in the water. That's what John the Baptist came to do, the baptism in water. Baptism means the full immersion. It's not getting sprinkled on. It's full immersion. So the whole body that has the sins that are mortified, that are dead, have to be buried in that water. So that we come out as a new creature, as newborn babe, as the son or daughter of God. And there's also, as we read here, restitution. John the Baptist spoke about preparing the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. The mountains need to be low, the valleys need to be filled. So the road that is crooked needs to be straight. So that's preparing your heart. It's not the road, the actual road. We all know this. It's the heart, preparing your heart for God, for the Lord. In order for our Savior, Jesus Christ, to dwell within our heart, we need to prepare our heart. So anything that is crooked, that's not right, has to be fixed. If we stole, just like Zacchaeus, if he stole something from anyone, we need to take it back. And that's not easy. Perhaps certain things happened many years ago. It's not easy, but it's not impossible. So if it's possible, we need to do the restitution. Give back. We tricked anyone or wronged someone any which way, saying something to them, hurting them, taking things from them, stealing from people. There are many ways we can do restitution, making things right. Basically, that's what it means, to make things right. And then that's when the water baptism comes, and all those things that are dead, all the sins that are there, are buried. And there are no more to rise. And John the Baptist says that he came to baptize with water, but there was someone mightier than him. He acknowledged that he was asked many times, "Are you the Messiah? Are you the prophet?" "No, I am just the voice," as Brother mentioned in the prayer. He was just a messenger, forerunner for Jesus Christ. He came to prepare the way for the people to be baptized. He was just the voice in the wilderness. "Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." And then verse 4 pretty much explains what he looked like, what he was eating. And then he said that went out to him the Jerusalem and all Judea and all the regions round about Jordan to be baptized. Now, there were many that were ready. They knew of the coming of the Messiah. They were ready for salvation. They knew that Jesus must come. They perhaps did not know which way, which form, but they knew he was coming. So when they saw John and heard him speaking, and the first word that he said was repent, change, 180 degrees, change. Doesn't matter how far you went in the wrong direction. Turn around, come back, go the right way. That's what repent means, to change. Change of mind, change of heart. David said, "I hate every false way." We know what David did, and he repented, truly repented before God. He had a change of heart. He realized what he has done. And then also, change of will. Repent. Word repent is not a feeling word. It's an action word. Something has to be done. It's not just we feel remorse. We feel that we need to repent. It's just a feeling. It has to be action. We have to do something. Change. Change the way we live. The way we speak. Become a newborn babe, newborn child of God. Apostle Paul, we know that he was a great sinner. He even admitted he was the chief of the sinners. When he saw the great light, he repented. And what did he say to Jesus? He said, "What do you want me to do?" There was something that he needed to do. So it was change of mind, change of heart, and change of will. He was ready to do whatever Jesus would ask of him to do. And he did. He did exactly what God asked him to do. We know that he suffered a lot, but he suffered for the kingdom of heaven. So when John started preaching, he says, in the beginning, kind of skip that, he says, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It is near. It is as close as our hand is to us." That's how close it is. It's close. So many people came to be baptized, and it says that they were confessing their sins. They were ready to change, confess their sins, be baptized, and they were ready to follow God. Now, John the Baptist did say that Jesus will be the one baptizing with Holy Spirit and with fire. And he did. We know that later on, as many were baptized, Apostle Paul, he was going to his cities, and he asked some of the brothers and sisters that were there in faith that were baptized, he asked them, "Were you baptized with the Spirit?" And they said, "We didn't even hear about the Spirit, baptism with Spirit." They did not know. Many of them did not know. So Apostle Paul had to remind them, teach them, and tell them. But Jesus was baptizing with Holy Spirit. And even today, as one gets baptized, one has to be baptized with water, Holy Spirit, and fire. Fire is the trials that we go through. We all go through trials, but we never go alone. God is always with us, helping us, holding on to us, holding our hand. We never, never walk alone. That's the promise that he has given unto us. So as people came to be baptized, confessing their sins, it says, "But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism." So many Pharisees and Sadducees, I'm not sure what was the reason. If they were not confessing their sins, it doesn't say. They either came to see, I don't think they were ready to be baptized, because as he says here, he calls them a generation of vipers. You know that viper, it's a venomous snake, just bites and kills. He knew, John the Baptist knew their heart, the intention of their heart. So they were not ready to confess their sins. They were not ready to repent, to change. They just came most likely to, out of curiosity, to see, but not to be baptized, and not to change, not to repent. So he sent them away. He says, first he says, "Who had warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance." Change, bring forth fruit, fruits of the Spirit, the good fruit. Because he says, oh, first he tells them, "And don't even think within yourself that while we have Abraham to our father," John the Baptist says, "For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham." And then he continues on, he says, "Now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which will not bring forth the good fruits," cut down, completely down, way down to the roots. Not just the branches. There's no pruning. We don't bring fruit, there's no pruning. He says, with the axe, way down to the roots. Cut it down completely. There's no fruit. They were not able to be baptized. They did not bring any fruit worthy of repentance. They did not change. Prophet Joel says, "Rend your heart, not your garment." In those days when people went through repentance, or there was a great sorrow among them, they would rend their clothes. That's how they showed that they were repenting. But Prophet Joel says, don't rent your clothes, rent your heart. Examine your heart. Fix your heart. Have that sorrow in your heart. Be sad because you were hurting God. That's the true repentance. Then he says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. As I mentioned earlier, he speaks about Jesus, who is mightier than not just him, but than anyone. He will baptize with Holy Spirit and fire. Now, we know that Jesus, when he came, that he also asked John the Baptist to baptize him. Now, John the Baptist did not want to. He realized that he was the Son of the mighty God. He did not need to be baptized. He was cleaner than the River Jordan. He didn't have any sins. There was nothing to confess. Maybe confess our sins. But he had no sin to confess. He did not need to be baptized. But he showed us the great and good example so that we would follow that. So that nobody would be able to say, well, Jesus wasn't baptized. He did not show us a good example. I believe that's the reason that he asked John to be baptized, to baptize him. Of course, John says, I need to be baptized by you and not me baptizing you. But as Jesus says, let me read that. He says, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. That was God's righteousness, that was God's will. And he had to be done. And when he was baptized, it says, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him. And there was a great voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So John the Baptist witnessed this. He saw the heavens being open and the Spirit of God descending. It was a visual thing for John the Baptist, but we cannot see the Spirit of God. So when we are baptized with the Holy Spirit, we need to have faith. We need to believe. We need to have peace within our heart. And our heart has to be prepared, has to be clean. So the Spirit, the clean, pure Spirit of God, can dwell within our heart. And the only way to make our heart ready and prepared and clean is by much prayer. Praying to God. Asking God to help us. To cleanse our heart. To correct us. To show us the way. To have the clean and pure heart. That's the only way the Spirit of God can dwell in it. And we know even the next chapter speaks about Jesus. Right after he was baptized, he was led into the wilderness to be tempted. We were all tempted, and we are still tempted after we were baptized. Satan will not leave anyone alone, especially a child of God. He tries to steal. He tries to devour. He tries to separate us. He tries to hurt us. He wants to take us back where we were in the sin, in the world. That's his goal. That's his plan. He has no salvation. So he wants to make us miserable too. But since we know his devices, we know how crafty he is, we need to stop him. We need to fight him. We need to, as I mentioned last Sunday a little bit, we need to put the whole armor of God upon ourselves and have the sword so we can fight him. We know if we do have the whole armor and yet we don't have a sword, we cannot fight him. We can just protect ourselves. And that's good too. We need to protect ourselves, but we need to fight Satan and sin. In the Old Testament, we can read many places where God, through prophets, Prophet Ezekiel, Prophet Isaiah, and even Joel, as I mentioned earlier, they spoke to people, and constantly they were telling the people to repent, to change, leave, get rid of the idols, come back. And God is gracious, He's merciful, full of compassion and pity. He repented of the evil that He would do to them. He called them so many times, over and over, different prophets, different ways. And yet, many times, they did not return, they did not come back. Beloved, if we ever, those of us that made a covenant with God, if we ever go astray, whether in our thoughts or deeds or words or so many different ways we can go astray if we're not careful, it happens. And if we hear the calling of God, calling us back to return, to repent, the repentance is not only for those that were not baptized. Apostle Paul says, I die daily. We all need to repent every single day. From what? What do we repent from? We make mistakes too. We have faults. But we have the Spirit of God that will admonish us, correct us, remind us, tell us, go back. You're not going the right way. And we hear it, we can get reminded through the word, brother speaking, or just by reading, through prayers, someone telling us. There are so many different ways we can get reminded. If it comes to our ears, it is from God. Especially when we examine ourselves and we know that we have done something that was not pleasing God, we need to turn around, come back, and fix it. Go back, repent, change. And pray to God, for God is gracious and merciful and loving. And He forgives us if we come to Him on bended knees with sincere heart. It's not, like I mentioned earlier, it's not just a feeling. We know that Judas Iscariot, after he betrayed the innocent blood, he says in the Word of God that he repented and he went back and gave the money back. Did he truly repent? No. He had changed his mind, but that's it. He did not come back. He realized what he has done. So in a way, he repented, but did not repent with mind, heart, and will, and wasn't sincere. The repentance needs to be sincere, needs to be real. Really have that regret, remorse, the sorrow in your heart. As we were all born sinners, and some went deeper into the sin, some perhaps a little less. And even those that did not go into the sin as much, there are many of us that were born in the Christian family, and we didn't really get into the sin that deeply. What does that mean? We don't need to repent. It just means that we're closer, perhaps easier. We know that rich man that came to Jesus, and he asked him what he needs to do to be saved. And Jesus told him, well, how do you read? What are the commandments? Well, he knew all the commandments. He says, I have done them all from my youth. He was close. He actually thought that he was right there. He was ready. He fulfilled all the commandments, every one of them, every single one of the commandments he had done, fulfilled. So when Jesus saw that how he answered, and he says, one more thing. There's one more thing that you need to do. Because he was very rich. So he told him, sell everything that you have, give it to the poor, come and follow me. Just one more thing. You know, I think everyone has one more thing. Those of you that did not repent yet or change, were not baptized yet, most likely you have one thing that's holding you back. It might be big, it might be small. But everyone has at least one thing that's holding them back. And Satan knows, even for us, he knows what is our weakest spot or thing that we have. And that's what he offers. Most likely he won't offer me things that I could care less about. He will offer me things that I might have pleasure in. That's what I need to fight. That's what I need to work on. But everyone has something perhaps different. But whatever it is that's holding you back, it's not worth it. The kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is near. And God has prepared us a beautiful, beautiful place. He says our heart and our mind cannot even comprehend. We cannot even imagine what God had prepared for those who serve him and love him and are faithful unto him. A beautiful, beautiful mansion that he has prepared for all of us. We will not live forever. That we all know. As we get older, we perhaps think about it more because we know we are getting older. When I was young, didn't think much about dying. I knew it can happen. Even though I was baptized early on, very early, age 17. And I'm glad that I answered the call when he called me. I was thinking about a verse where give me a moment here. In Acts. It's in the beginning of the Acts. I'm just going to collect my thoughts here. When Peter and John started preaching, the first thing that Peter said was also repent, just like John the Baptist. And also Jesus, when he started his mission, he also said, repent. That was the first thing that he said to the people as they were following him. This is when Peter and John, where they were speaking, and the man said, what shall we do? What shall we do then? When he explained to them about Jesus Christ, and he told them to repent. I'm just looking for a specific verse now. I have a little hard time finding it, but anyway, maybe it will come to me. I know I read it a few times, and now I cannot find it, but anyway, it'll get to me. It'll come to me later. But the Word of God is pure. Well, let us accept it. Let us prepare our heart so that the seed, which is the Word of God, that it would fall deep down within our heart. But that heart has to be prepared. It's a good ground. It cannot fall on the side, byways, sideways, or in the rocky places, a stony ground or full of thorns. It has to be prepared, ready to receive the seed. And only then, when the seed is sown in the good ground, when it's watered, there's plenty of sunshine, God's blessing, then it can grow to God's honor and to God's glory. And may these few words that I was able to speak be to God's honor and to our edification, that we will learn from it, that we will all learn, because we never stop learning. And may to our God be all glory, honor, and honor forever. Amen.